newsletters. Which ones do you like? Which ones do you hate?
Which ones do you not know how you got signed up for in the first place, but you still read it? Hey, it's To Buy or Boycott. I'm Allison.
And I'm Bridget. This week, we're talking about email newsletters. Are they the new blog post? Which ones do you love? And which ones have you unsubscribed from? Is this whole thing just a fad? Should we have a newsletter? We really need to talk about this.
As always, we're here to help you sort through the advertising noise, consume media and products with conviction, so your dollars support companies that align with your values. It's that simple. Join the conversation and see updates on past topics on Twitter at To Buy or Boycott, or email us your suggestions at tobuyorboycott@gmail.com.
This week, we asked our followers on Twitter if they regularly read an email newsletter. 71% said yes, and 29% said, stay out of my inbox.
I think this is an especially interesting and relevant conversation after Facebook's announcement that they would be focusing more on private communications, because the rise of emails happened in a world where we can communicate via so many mediums that our inbox feels like where we can curate our own feed of things that we're interested in. So to quote Mark Zuckerberg, which I never thought I would say, you know, people increasingly want to connect privately in the digital equivalent of the living room. And a good newsletter is cozy and familiar like a friend's living room. And no newsletter is more familiar than the Skim.
That is so true. I feel like when we were starting this topic and when I asked friends, the Skim is the most commonly referenced newsletter. I subscribed early on to the Skim, but I really wasn't a fan of their kind of casual, flippant tone. I did resubscribe last week when we decided on this topic, and I was immediately reminded that that newsletter is not for me.
So the Skim is not a friend that you want to come hang out in your living room.
Nope.
I'm the exact opposite. I kind of in the beginning, I was a Skim snob. I felt that I was more informed than like the average person our age who they were targeting. And I didn't like the original pitch that it would make you cocktail party conversational about the news, which is exactly kind of what you're picking up. And the tone that they try really hard, really hard at this point to kind of upkeep. And the people I knew that just subscribed knew nothing, like maybe not nothing about nothing, but definitely nothing about the news. So I figured it wasn't for me. And then at some point I subscribed because it was just such a fad and like, you know, I'm a trends person. So clearly I felt email like becoming more relevant. And I wanted to know what the Today Show set new on a daily basis. And I think, you know, and I couldn't add TV. So I skimmed the Skim when I can, but it is complicated because it's speaking to a type of person that neither of us are exactly.
But it does have 7 million subscribers, which is actually 4 times more subscribers than the New York Times Morning Briefing newsletter.
Wow.
So yeah, I was really surprised when I found that stat. So clearly they're doing something right. And I think a few of those things are that they're connecting with an audience of people who might not otherwise read bigger, more detailed material. While I have no idea what their click-through rate is, I will give them credit for leading their subscribers to dig deeper by linking to credible, trustworthy sites like the Associated Press, CNN, and the New York Times.
Though sometimes I click on the hyperlinks because I just do not understand what they could possibly be referencing. It's like they'll use like this pop culture reference, clearly to insinuate something about the news, but I'm like, I have to click to see how they think like Back That Ass Up has something to do with healthcare. Like where are we going with this? And then it, like, will be a real article on the other end, but I don't always know how we got there. But I do feel like the Skim is the Today Show. Kind of, it's taken over that same set and that same kind of formula for the modern professional. I need a quick hit of information before I start my busy day. Morning news has always been a little lighter, a little more lifestyle, you know, the first place where women kind of had a seat on the couch. It was all very like informal and more about lifestyle and human interest than the nightly news. And I think the Skim continues in that tradition of easily palatable ways to stay informed. Morning news show hosts used to thank viewers for inviting them into their home with a cup of coffee. And when I read it, I know that I'm not the target audience, but I appreciate those people who may otherwise know like you know, little about detained children in healthcare now know a little bit more and maybe like feel more confident talking about it during their day, although that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I think the thing that rubs me the wrong way is that because the scam is targeted at women, that like patronizing tone and the logo of their like slim girl in pearls and heels holding a phone, it just seems to assume that like female news consumers only want the appearance of knowledge rather than actual knowledge. Boom. On the website, it says things like, there's a lot of stuff in the world. It's confusing. Like, oh, I'm cringing. I can't.
Who goes to the Skims website? I wouldn't have even thought of that. I didn't even know they had a website.
But, you know, I'm just tired of like that sexist narrative that women are too dumb or too busy running around in high heels to handle complex realities. The co-founders, like, they're two really smart women. They came from, I think, NBC backgrounds. And they say that the Skims voice is meant to mimic that of your smartest friend, the one who tells you like it is. So really? Really? That's because, yeah, like, I don't like what that infers about the intelligence and depth of my smartest friend.
As long as what they write is factual and responsible, does anything else really matter? There's so many voices out there. There's room, you know, obviously 7 million people like this voice. So I think that there's room for this.
That is a way more valid argument than what I'm saying. I think I'm getting way too focused on like the messenger and kind of forgetting that the message is getting through. That type of criticism, actually, the criticism that I'm lodging at the Skim is often lodged at shows like The Daily Show and Last Week Tonight. But when they survey those viewers, the viewers of those, you know, comedy political shows and viewers who regularly watch cable news, guess who turns out to be more knowledgeable? The Daily Show viewers.
Because they're watching with more interest. But I feel like every time I open my inbox, there's a new newsletter. And that's what becomes overwhelming. Like, this is only really a conversation because like the market has become flooded with voices. Like, every old newsletter has an extension, you know, like every Refinery 29 issue that used to be in one newsletter now has like its own editorial team. And there's just so much content that, you know, I get overwhelmed by my inbox sometimes. So I wonder, are we at peak email? Like, are there no better emails on the horizon? Do I unsubscribe to everything right now?
Yeah, I definitely went on like a subscribe binge last week when we decided on this topic. And then my inbox became unmanageable. But it does, it's hard to unsubscribe because even though it does feel like we're at peak email, a lot of the content is actually really good. So I think there's this distinction between like email blasts from the past, like things that came from like realtors or, you know, websites where it was just like, here's all the blog posts that we wrote this week. Like, that's not really what I think of when I think of like the high quality newsletters that exist today. Those newsletters, the ones that I want to have time for, but don't always have time for because there's just so many, like, they're offering really unique, digestible commentary and pieces of information. And like, I am all for that.
No, but that's where subscription newsletters start coming into play, because then if I'm paying for it, then I'm more inclined to open it. I've like, I'm somehow, even if it's like a nominal amount of money, it's like I've invested in this newsletter at this point. But that's, it's the inbox is so unruly at this point that it's hard to imagine paying for space in my inbox. You know, like, for paying for somebody to send me an email, which does seem like a burden, even because there's so much out there that I'm interested in that's free. It's like that gate, that wall, I just don't see it. I just don't see that being a growth, a dollar sales growth avenue, maybe a customer acquisition avenue, like you were saying, but I think the opportunity is not to monetize it.
I don't pay for any newsletters. I don't really mind like ads being inserted into it or sponsored content. Although I don't think I've ever clicked on an ad. And when I see like the asterisk that it's sponsored content, I like skim down to the next piece of actual content. But I think, you know, the rise of newsletters to me feels really similar to the rise of podcasts. Both email and radio went through this period where they felt like they were like mildly useful relics of the past, kind of like having a landline because it's hardwired to your like door buzzer. It's like useful in this like one very specific case, but you don't use it anywhere else. But then brand marketing kind of evil geniuses realized that email and podcasts were this great way to make people feel more connected, not just to the publication or company, but to that brand, what you were talking about. And I think it's this way to feel that intimate connection. Back to what you were saying about having a cup of coffee and feeling like you're in someone's living room. I think email and podcasts are really effective at that. But that also is what is going to make it really hard to pay for it. Because I don't pay to have a cup of coffee with my friend. You know, like I wouldn't pay to like read someone's Twitter feed. So it doesn't translate the way that I'm like inclined to pay for the New York Times or the Washington Post. Like that feels right. But paying for like the Washington Post op-ed newsletter, I'm not going to do that.
What about journalists who are now turning to, you know, paid models to support their investigative journalism that newspapers used to pay for now really isn't being produced because advertising dollars don't pay for something that like takes that long to build. So it's like, is that where a paid newsletter, like news subscription makes sense? But then is it charity? Is that like social investing? Is it no longer, you know, paying for the newsletter itself that you're supporting? It's like you're supporting the cause.
Yeah, no. And I think that's why a lot of the people who write newsletters have Patreon pages, you know, or like donation pages. And actually that feels more natural to me than paying for the content. So I think like a lot of people, it's like give the content away, prove that it's valuable, and then say like, hey, I'm giving you this valuable thing. Like, can you, or, you know, you gate certain pieces of content.
It's our 21st century version of the soapbox and kind of becoming a public intellectual, like coming to the town square, a great thinker of our time.
Totally. The town square is how it feels. You know, it feels like some of these newsletters feels important to like be able to participate in conversations on Twitter, to be able to participate in conversations at work, to be able to kind of connect with other people. Like these things get referenced.
The town square analogy, then what is social media? You know, wasn't social media supposed to be the town square where we all kind of came out and met digitally? And now like that's become so big and so broad. Email, your inbox is now like what's so micro that it's just the town square. And maybe we just need to write each other letters. Like, what if we just like photocopied a letter and then mass like sent it? And that was the pace upon which, is that what you want from Tobias Boycott? Just like a written letter.
Just a postcard every week. Buy this thing, boycott that thing. There is something to be said for like getting a physical letter.
Catalogs. So I just moved into a new apartment and have like ended up on a million lists. Because I'm buying furniture and I find myself flipping through catalogs. It's like nice. It's refreshing to flip through the Bloomingdale's catalog and kind of like see what their statement for spring is. Because it feels like there's a point of view and a tone. It's pretty, you know, it's visual, it's disconnected, it's slow. I feel like it felt personal because it came to me. You know, are we going to devolve that from there, from an email, like going back to what was like a 90s trend and now go back?
Yeah. So, okay. So what email newsletters do you love?
Actually read.
Yeah. Like, which ones are you excited about?
Newsletters are bullshit. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Hate
newsletters. Catalogs only.
Slow media. It was actually interesting to prep for this because newsletters are such like a huge part of my life because I like content that's curated well. I don't need to go out to the far reaches of the internet and like find the memes and like I'm not out there finding all of the new brands. I want somebody that's going to vet that for me. I love this newsletter called Lean Lux. It's, you know, super specific. It's about digitally native vertical brands, kind of like modern brand culture. I like Do Something Strategics Till Next Tuesday weekly email because it just kind of highlights brands that are doing good things, both like doing good for the world, but like creating inspiring brand campaigns or doing good things for their employees. It's just kind of like a pat on the back for corporate America when like sometimes you feel like they're the problem. The Profile, it's a weekly email that highlights current and archival profile magazine pieces, which is just like a fascinating way to glimpse at all sorts of people. It's kind of agnostic to industry. And so obviously I like weekly emails. I get Axios, AM, PM, you know, I read that as often as I can. They start stacking up on days that are busy, but you know, the skim, you know, I could like rattle off a million news, politics. There's just so much news.
I like the sound of the profile. That one sounds good because I feel like the like profiles of interesting people in magazines, they can be a long read. And I feel like sometimes I like intend to read them, but they don't feel as urgent as reading like a daily political newsletter. And so I think I'll have to try that one out. I definitely find that like the newsletters that I love, they follow my passions pretty closely. So I definitely read and obsess about a lot of the daily political newsletters. So things like the New York Times Morning Briefing, the Morning Brew, and What a Day, which is from Crooked Media, like smart political commentary and just what is happening. So I like that. Then from more of like running news and badass women doing outdoorsy things, I love Sticks and Stones, Fast Women, and The Morning Shakeout. And then I have this whole other set of kind of like tech and VC newsletters that I read, some of which are daily, some of which are weekly, and that include Crunchbase and Fem Street.
I haven't heard of half of the ones that you read because it's just like, those aren't my interests. Those aren't the people that I'm having coffee with in my living room.
You don't care about like who won the 5K at the Boston University track meet this past week? You don't care about that? No? I mean, they just changed like the Olympic qualifying standards and it was breaking news.
Okay. So we have very conflicted, you know, we're obviously bought in, but do we buy the idea of email newsletters?
Yeah, I'm a total buy on this. I think, you know, subscribe to any newsletter that sounds interesting, that is written by people who you'd want to have a cup of coffee with. But like be really good and diligent about unsubscribing from anything that you find that you're just not reading.
That's great advice. I definitely don't do that. And I need to do more unsubscribing. I'm a full buy on unsubscribe. I'm also a buy on newsletters, but I am boycott subscription newsletters right now. You know, that's subject to change, but for anybody that's like a content creator out there that's debating whether or not they should start a paid subscription newsletter, you know, find another way for people to support your kind of artistic vision or your goals. But I think that my inbox is not the place to pay for play. So we'll update the Twitter with a list of all of our recommended emails because you should be getting email newsletters.
Yeah, I love that. I think sharing. And we'd love to hear what your favorite newsletters are. Tune in next week for a conversation about wellness beverages. Have you heard about recovery beers and CBD sodas? They're having a serious moment and we need to discuss. Follow us on Twitter at ToBuyOrBoycott and send us an email at ToBuyOrBoycott@gmail.com.
Say bye.
Bye.
Or boycott.
I'm probably going to leave that in.